You're listening to National Prison Radio, and welcome to the new Transition and Hope series, brought to you in partnership with INGEUS. We have put this series together to remind you that as you move forward through your prison sentence, support from organisations such as INGEUS and the opportunities to transform your life are within your reach. Transition can feel uncertain, but it's also a powerful chance to create a future that works for you. I'm in the offices of INGEUS, who are one of the many providers of after-prison care, and today we discuss transition and hope with Jazeel. Jazeel, welcome to National Prison Radio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Jazeel, can you tell us what your life looked like during the years you had four spells in prison and what your experience of prison was like?
It was just my life at that time, innit? So I didn't see anything wrong with the way I was living in and out of prison. If you're a fireman, you're going to go and put out fires, innit? Like, if you're doing illegal things, the way I thought, prison was just a by part of that lifestyle. So going back and forth to prison, it was just part and parcel of what I was doing.
So it was part and parcel of what you was doing. So would you say at that period in your life, that was just kind of your mindset, you felt as though it was the natural thing for you to do, and you had no other opportunities?
So I wouldn't like to say I never had no other opportunities, because I've got the same opportunities now when I came out of prison that I had before I ever went. So I would say it's just a lifestyle choice, but I grew up a bit different, do you know what I'm saying? My dad was like a Del Boy entrepreneur type person. He sold drugs. You know, he didn't really hide anything from us and stuff like that. So I didn't learn street stuff from hanging around with my friends in the street. I kind of learned that stuff from my dad.
You've mentioned your father there, but obviously in your life there must have been some sort of turning point. And you mentioned previously to me that your children and your mum played a big part in being that turning point. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, so that's kind of, like, I had kids really young. So, well, to me, I was really young. By the time I was 23, I had three kids. And I got a lot of friends that say their kids changed the minute. I know a lot of people, oh, I had kids and it gave me direction in life and this and that. Well, it didn't, that stuff didn't happen with me. I had three kids, but I had a really good mum. And I knew I had a really good mum. So I would just get my kids and drop them to my mum, do you know? So they never, I was still doing what I was doing. My first three kids have all come to prison to visit me. They've all been through that road. It was only my last sentence where I got the 7.5 years and I had to do the thing. And when I was looking at my kids' ages, you know, they was a big part why I went guilty. I was guilty anyway, but they was a big part in why I went guilty, because we're fighters, innit? You know, there's a chance I can beat this case even if I did do it. But because I had my kids and I was like, I need to set the example, innit?
And you are setting that example now because you're employed by INGEUS as a reflect key worker. Can you tell us how you first heard about INGEUS and how you got into this role?
Probation. I came through probation, really. I was on probation for 45 months. So this is exactly how I got into this sector, this justice sector. I was going probation. I got out of prison. I had a job. I was just, because I knew to stay out of trouble, all I needed to do was get a job in it to make money, you know, because I went to jail for money. So it was pretty easy. For me to change my life wasn't as hard as people think. I just tell them all the time, I stopped doing what I was doing and did something else. It was that simple to me. I didn't have to cut friends off. I didn't have to lose people. I didn't feel alienated. I just said, this is what I'm doing, and whoever's coming with me, come with me. And if you're my friend, you're my friend. You'll support what I'm doing. So I had 45 months of probation. And then what happened was, I went into probation, I had two sessions left. And I've gone in there, the whole place was empty. So I said to the man behind the desk, I gave him my name, my probation officer. He said, sit down there, she'll come and see you in a minute. So I sat down, and then the door opened, and a service user came through it with his probation officer. And she said to him, sit down there, in 5 minutes I'll bring in your appointment to you. So He sat down right next to me, and my first thought was, this whole room's empty. Why is this kid sat next to me? Like, I don't even know him or anything. That was my first thought. And then he started mumbling under his breath something, like, he was talking about his probation officer. And I just turned to him and I said to him, your life's fun, isn't it? And remember, I don't know him. He don't know me. So he wasn't very talkative. He's, what do you mean? I was like, what do you do? I'm like, have you got a job? No, he's not got a job. I said, you've been in prison? He's like, yeah. I was like, what do you do? He don't do nothing. I said, that's pretty fun, isn't it? So you've got no one telling you what to do. You've got no responsibilities. You've got nothing. He says, yeah, actually, my life's kind of fun. So I says, yeah. I said to him, well, fun and serious, they're not on the same page. I said, and one day you're going to get serious about your life. And he says, yeah. I says, yeah. I said, so imagine it like a book. Fun's at the beginning, serious is at the end. I said, they're nowhere near each other. I said, so once you get serious about your life, I said, all this stuff that you're going through now, I said, you're going to have to start jumping hurdles. And he says, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, do you know who put them hurdles in front of you? And he said, no, who? I said, you. I said, you put every hurdle in front of you. I said, prison, new charges, community service, probation. I said, all of this stuff is you putting hurdles in front of you. I said, and when you get serious about your life, you're going to have to jump all of them. And he says, yeah. And then I said to him, do you know what I'm doing with my life? And he said, no, what? And I said, I'm jumping hurdles. And he was like, oh. So I kind of explained to him. I said to him, how old are you? He said, 18. I said, you're 18. I said, I'm 38. I said, I hope you get it before you're my age. And he says, oh, okay, cool. And the guy behind the desk, I think his name was Rich, and I feel so bad because I always forget this man's name, but this guy changed the whole trajectory of my life. He said to me, have you heard of peer mentoring? And I was like, nah, mate. And this guy, he begged me. He was like, please, please, as a woman, would you come and see her? Would you come and see her? And I was like, you know what? I'll see her. I've got 5 minutes. I'll see her. And Suzanne Hunt came downstairs. And she came down and then she spoke to me for 5 minutes. And she says, can she give me a little interview? And I was like, yeah, you can give me an interview. And she asked me one question, and I talk a lot, you see. So from the one question, I just spoke for about 10 minutes. And then she says, I don't have to ask you no more questions. You've answered all of them. And I was like, wow. And then she was like, will you come back and do the peer mentoring course? And that's how I got onto this course. And after I got onto the peer mentoring course, I started volunteering for St. Giles, Engage, probation, and I dived into this sector. And when I was saying I volunteered for all of them people, St. Giles, all these people, yeah, and I just thought, I'm not gonna stop until I get the job I want, until I get a job that satisfies me. So I thought, you gotta work for job satisfaction, Giselle. So doing the peer mentoring course, all the feedback and everything I was getting, it made me realize, this is what you're good at, this is what you should be doing. And that was because everyone's feedback towards me. I wasn't just sitting there like, oh, I'm really good at this. It was the feedback from everyone made me realize, oh, you have got a skill, you know, Giselle. And like, you have got something you're good at. So I just dived into it head first. And then again, Suzanne used to help me. She used to ring me and say, look, there's this job going, there's that job going, there's this job. And she would help me with the applications and everything, you know. And then one day she rang me and she said, there's a company called Induce and they've got these jobs going. And I applied for two jobs, a mentor and an advisor. And I think they rang back Suzanne and told them that I've got both of the jobs, whichever one I wanted. And I said to Suzanne, I said, what's the difference? And she says, being a mentor is more hands-on, being an advisor is more paperwork. And she said, you should be a mentor. And I said, I should be. I said, who gets paid more? She said, advisors. I said, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Giselle, that's absolutely amazing. You're such an inspiration. And I think it's important for people out there who do want to make a transition when they get out of jail, to maybe change the mindset and find something that they actually love doing. And you love working at the moment as a Reflect Key worker. You do seem very, very passionate about it. You're working with 18 to 24-year-olds, and it's a very important role with helping the youngsters you work with to stay on the right path at this key stage in their life. Can you tell us a little bit more about this particular role and what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, okay, so as a Reflect Key worker, We get cases from the police that are conditional cautions or community resolutions. There's not much difference in them. Community resolutions is 3 sessions. A conditional caution is 5 sessions. But they can get them extended anyway. It's not 5 hard sessions and then you're out the door. So if you need more work, we'll work with you. So what we do is we'd give them a call. They have an initial assessment and it tells you things like it scores them on like mental health, substance misuse, family accommodation, stuff like that. So what it is if they answer these things low, then it gives us an indication of these are some things that they need help with. Yeah. And then we'll have a group session where we run with them. We run a thing called Evolved. That's a program that me and Jordan Jones actually created. So we run that with them. That's a 2-hour group session. You know, we talk about things like overcoming barriers. Where do you want to be in life? Who do you want to be in life? How do you get there in life? And then we offer a whole range of things like what's in it for them. So it'll be mental health, finance, benefit, debt, employment, training, education. And then we just work with them. But every case is, it's like, it's not one shoe fits all. And everyone that comes in, they're all age 18 to 24, but it's like some of them are at home, some of them students, some of them are at uni, some of them are working with their dads or working with parents, some of them. So they're not hardened. I wouldn't like to say hardened criminals, but, you know, they just made a little mistake. So it's an out-of-court referral. So if they engage with us, they don't end up in court. So that's the way we kind of sell it to them as well. Like, we're saving you from getting a criminal record. And you don't want nothing on your criminal record. So, yeah, and I do get a lot of job satisfaction out of it.
Well, Jazeel, you're obviously an inspiration and you speak from the heart, which is amazing to hear. You're somebody with lived experience. So for anybody who's sitting in a prison cell listening to this, who's coming towards the end of the prison sentence and worried that they may not have all the support they need upon release, what advice have you got for them?
So the advice I've got for anyone coming out is whatever your goal is, you have to be really rigid with it, but you've got to be really flexible with your plan. You're going to fail. You're going to have a lot of setbacks. You're going to have a lot of no's. You're going to have a lot of people look at you indifferently because you've come out of prison. But you just can't let none of that stuff stop you, you know. You have to just be tunnel vision, and baby steps move you forward, innit? Slow steps move you forward. Consistency as well. That's how life is. You have to put the work in and not see any results. And then one day you will start to see the results. Do you know what I'm saying? And don't be sitting in prison now thinking, I'm in prison. I thank God for every time I got sent to prison. And it was only afterwards that I was like, God sent me there to keep me away from something else or to learn something. Do you know what I'm saying? So there is no mistakes. You might have done something that landed you in this position, but you got to learn from it. From every bad thing that happens, there's something that you can learn from it. As long as you've got hope, then when you get out, the transition's the easy part. Do you know what I'm saying? You just have to have that bit of hope.
Well, Jazeel, thank you so much for joining us today. And Jazeel is one of many people with experience of prison who are working to support you after your release while you're on probation. Whether it's building confidence and resilience, finding employment, improving your money management skills, finding a place to live, or setting achievable goals, the support to help you make it happen. This is your journey, and each step forward can be filled with hope and endless possibilities. Ingeus is one of several different providers of after-prison care, so make sure you speak to your prison offender manager to make sure you've got the right support lined up for release.